"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
All right, stay with KFI News. Keeping an eye on that brush fire that broke out in Laguna Niguel, prompting the evacuation of some nearby homes and also a luxury resort and a golf course. We now have an opportunity to talk to a woman that's, key to the whole story concerning Mayor Eric Garcetti, his nomination to be the next ambassador to India, the whole deal with his former top aide, Rick Jacobs, and allegations that he was sexually harassing employees. This all began in 2020 when a former bodyguard from LAPD for Garcetti by the name of Matthew Garza filed a complaint, a suit, that he was sexually harassed by this Rick Jacobs. Rick Jacobs is a top aide, top fundraiser, key guy for the aspirations of Eric Garcetti, and that was the allegation. And this eventually took us down the road to the point where we are now in a civil suit between the city and Matthew Garza. But other people also voiced their same belief that Rick Jacobs was a sexual harasser. Our guest coming on now is Naomi Seligman, who used to be the director of communications for Garcetti. And her story broke in December when she talked to a New York magazine about an allegation that she personally was sexually harassed, assaulted, really, by Rick Jacobs. And then she got pretty upset because Garcetti said and did testify at a deposition in the civil case and before the Senate for his nomination to be ambassador to India that he had no knowledge of and did not witness anything that is alleged about Rick Jacobs.
Well, she filed a 31-page complaint with the help of a nonprofit law group called Whistleblower Aid, which details what she saw and experienced, and what a number of other employees saw and experienced. And we're going to get her on now. Naomi Seligman, welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I have just been going through again your 31-page document. Talk about the incident with Rick Jacobs that you went through yourself. What went on there?
Sure. I mean, I just want to say first, I'm one of many victims, and there's been, you know, an interesting focus on me and what I went through, but what I went through, scores of victims went through. I after the 2016 city address that year, Rick Jacobs, you know, came into my office and grabbed me, pinned my arms down, kissed me for a long, uncomfortable period of time and said, "Congratulations, everyone," and walked out. And I reported it to the then chief of staff, Ana Guerrero, who has since been put on administrative leave and then came back as senior advisor. And, you know, she rolled her eyes and just said, "You know, there's nothing we can do about it. It's Rick." I then called a friend who also happened to be on the fire commission in LA and recounted what had happened to me in real time. And, you know, both I and my friend Rebecca Nimberg testified under oath to what happened to me during that time period. But again, it's important to know, you know, we have, again, dozens of victims. People I've spoken to, Whistleblower Aid has spoken to a dozen victims and witnesses. And we know, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, Senator Grassley has as well.
Yeah. When he did this to you, is this the first time that you knew that he would do this kind of stuff? You'd already heard around the office that Jacobs did this to women and men.
It wasn't a type of thing you just heard. It is the type of thing that you saw, heard. It was ubiquitous. So, you know, I've often been asked, you know, can you remember each time? And it's like remembering how many times I texted yesterday and who I texted to and what I said. It was an everyday experience. To know Rick was to know this behavior. You know, it was Mayor Garcetti's office was Rick Jacobs' hunting ground, and the mayor gave him a gun. He allowed him to sexually harass and abuse vulnerable women, young men, but he wasn't particular. He wanted to show his dominance and his power, as people have testified to, including the mayor's senior advisor, Ana Guerrero.
Well, they tried to write this off to that's just how he is. He's just very affectionate, and he likes to show people that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to just kiss people on the mouth, not in 2022. You know, we know that during Me Too, the mayor's office put together Me Too legislation and an office that we could supposedly report this kind of behavior to. He has talked about zero tolerance for sexual harassment. And it's not just what Rick did, it's what the mayor saw. And that's really the crux of the issue here. You know, enablers cannot continue to abuse, predators can't continue to abuse unless enablers allow them to do it. And that's what we have. We have a really powerful enabler in Eric Garcetti.
You believe that Eric Garcetti not only knew about this, he saw this happen.
I don't believe that. I saw him see it. I've testified to that. I absolutely was in the mayor's suite when the mayor was, inches from Rick Jacobs, who, you know, as I testified, would, you know, grab protective detail, LAPD protective detail, lift them off the ground, tell them they were so handsome. I saw that, and I saw that, you know, while the mayor was standing there. You know, I know we've all seen the photo of the mayor and Rick Jacobs, and Rick Jacobs with his hand hovering over a man's genitals, literally inches from the mayor, who had two thumbs up. And I think what's so important to note there, and again, Senator Grassley's office notes this, you know, all of the people in that picture, those staffers, those close friends, they had that photo as of that night, and not one of them reported it because it was so commonplace. It was something that we just were forced to get used to. And, you know, we did talk about it. Obviously, I complained other times as well. And we also just asked the question of Ana Guerrero and others and just said, you know, why would the mayor allow for this? Like, and she just said, there's nothing I can do about it. And so it was, he was a very powerful person in the city of Los Angeles.
And nobody ever approached Garcetti, or nobody told Rick Jacobs off?
Well, I mean, Ana Guerrero did talk to Eric Garcetti, and clearly he wasn't willing to do anything. My successor, Susie Emmerling, who was then, you know, communications director after I was, she asked Anna, and she said, well, why haven't you said anything? And she said, it's not attractive. So, you know, that's the kind of culture that was pervasive in that office. You know, I talk about it as sort of a godfather, sort of culture omerta. And there really was that culture there. You were loyal or you were out. There was no middle ground. And loyal meant you just dealt with the abuse, the harassment, and then enabling by Eric Garcetti.
Do you think this explains why so many staffers are saying, oh, I didn't see anything, I don't know anything, that they're trying to stay out of it because they want to remain loyal?
There's no question. I mean, it was so in August of 2020, you know, this is about a month after Matt Garza bravely filed his suit. You know, Ana Guerrero sent me a text and said, you know, I'm hearing disturbing rumors. Give me a call. And when I called her, she just relayed to me the concern she had that I was telling the truth to people about Rick Jacobs. And people knew, right? But that I was speaking outside of, you know, our circle, and that the mayor knew as well. And, you know, she said to me, listen, I love you and the mayor loves you. And I hope we can be friends. I hope we can remain friends. And we all know what that means.
Yeah, we know what that means. Can you hang on, Naomi?
Sure.
All right. We're talking to Naomi Seligman, who used to be the director of communications for Mayor Garcetti. And she is the one that's working with the whistleblower organization. She wants the U.S. Senate to know before they make him ambassador to India that he certainly knew about and witnessed, as you heard Naomi say, the sexual harassment carried out by the top aide to Garcetti, Rick Jacobs.
Yeah, she says that Garcetti perjured himself to the Senate committee and also in the private deposition over the Garza lawsuit. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI.
We continue with Naomi Seligman, who is the former director of communications for Mayor Eric Garcetti. She left the post and now finds herself immersed in this whole story concerning whether or not Garcetti is going to be the next ambassador to India. And he testified not only in front of a Senate committee, but also in a deposition in the civil case that he did not see and he did not hear about claims that his top aide, Rick Jacobs, was sexually harassing many employees in the mayor's office in the city of L.A.
So we're going to continue with Naomi and get her back on the air here. Naomi, for people listening who might just be in shock, right, at the picture you describe, right, because everybody, many people work in offices, and this is not going on in most places anymore, at least not to this extent. What explains the power that Rick Jacobs had over Eric Garcetti? Why was Garcetti so reluctant to do without him?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I think, you know, I think people should ask Eric Garcetti that. I would say he had a long and strong relationship with Rick Jacobs. Rick Jacobs and the mayor's wife were also incredibly close, talked many times a day, were really engaged with each other. And we know that Rick Jacobs raised untold amounts of money for Eric Garcetti. And I think probably Rick Jacobs told Eric Garcetti that he was going to bring him to the ball, that he was going to help him run for president and get him on the national map. And I think that Eric Garcetti really relied on Rick Jacobs and so allowed really all this behavior to go on because he valued him so highly.
Are you surprised that he stays in absolute public denial about everything, even after all your statements, all the other witnesses, the text messages? I mean, it's clear he knew what was going on and saw stuff going on. It's clear what Jacobs was doing. But still, to this morning, Steve Gregory from KFI News talked to him, and it's still an absolute denial. I mean, that's just stunning, isn't it?
I mean, he dug his heels in early, right? So, again, the lawsuit comes out in July of 20. He quickly says he doesn't know about this, has zero tolerance for harassment, and continues with that line. And then especially as these stories a couple months later come out where a couple of two anonymous young men, you know, men said that they had been, you know, abused by Jacobs for decades. And then Yashar Ali comes out with a story, very credible story, that he was kissed on the lips, that that we know later, Jacobs calls a cutesy little game. Yashar did not feel similarly. And it wasn't until all of that came out that he understood, Garcetti understood, that he was going to have to sort of pull himself back. Now, he never ordered an investigation at the time. He didn't. There was nothing that said, hey, let's get to the bottom of this. And then let's figure out what we're going to do here, because, you know, these are some very credible allegations, and these are my staff and people who are connecting with my donors and volunteers, and I need to care about them more than I care about my ambition. But he didn't make that choice, and we know he didn't make that choice. We also know that, you know, the investigation that the city attorney's office ordered was really a sham. It was a results-oriented outcome. There were three versions of that. It's really important to understand what's happened here and how the mayor has gamed the Senate. Not only has he allowed abuse, and not only has he, you know, witnessed it, tolerated it, enabled it, covered it up, but then lied about it. You know, whistleblower Abe, which you mentioned, represents me. They, you know, they filed a disclosure for felony perjury, alleging felony perjury in both cases before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and then also in his deposition. So I think to your question, and sorry it was a long answer, I think the answer is, you know, once he had sort of dug his heels in, I don't think he found room to maneuver to then tell the truth. He didn't, and he also just didn't have the political will to do so.
Go ahead.
Well, are you shocked by the fact that, you know, in the type of politics that you were working in, the mayor is considered a progressive politician, and as we talked about, he set up a special, after the whole Me Too movement started, a special phone number for L.A. City employees to call if they've been sexually harassed. I mean, did it shock you that not only this happened, but so many other people in your circle there in the mayor's office just stayed loyal and decided to just stay out of this, even though you apparently consider this to be a big violation?
I mean, it's devastating, right? It's devastating what he did time and again, that he made that choice every day to enable a sexual predator. It's devastating that people that were my close friends and colleagues decided to ostracize and target whistleblowers and victims. It's devastating that so many people decided to lie under oath about what they saw and what they knew. So, I mean, it's devastating. Listen, I am a, you know, I worked in Washington, D.C. for a decade and a half. I worked on Capitol Hill. I worked, you know, I've worked for Democrats and progressive causes my entire career. You know, I ran an anti-corruption organization with a former AUSA. You know, I believed in a lot of the same things and Eric Garcetti did, which is why I went to work for him. And it's very painful. It was very painful to see what he did and the choices he made. And even, you know, the Me Too hotline, it was under the mayor's auspices. It was under the mayor's auspices. And in fact, Susie Emmerling testified that after the first anonymous complaint came in, the former chief of staff asked her, you know, how do they find out who filed that complaint to the Me Too hotline? That's devastating. That, you know, people aren't living their values. It's very sad.
And at least a couple of people have said that even Garcetti himself is quoted as saying, how have we not been sued over Rick Jacobs?
Well, that's absolutely right. And it's, you know, it's a number of people now. And if we look at Senator Grassley's report, you know, one of the things that the mayor's office has repeatedly said is that there's nothing new here. And the White House has said, and Senate Foreign Relations, but there's actually a lot of new information in Senator Grassley's report. He interviewed, you know, they interviewed 15 people. They reviewed 26 depositions. It was a very serious investigation. And in that report, another individual told them that Garcetti said he couldn't believe the city wasn't sued during the time Jacobs worked at City Hall. So that's a new witness who said that. You know, we also have the really overtly horrendous racist language that Rick Jacobs was using. And they actually found new offensive language that he had been using. And they also had another incident in the 2015 U.S.-China Climate Leaders Summit where Rick Jacobs was grinding against the man. We know that there's a lot of new information. I recommend that you take the time to look at that, because what's happening is we have a messaging, you know, coming up down from Biden himself, in which they're saying this is a partisan hit job. And this is actually the most thorough investigation by miles that has taken place. We know that the go ahead.
Just what does your gut tell you is going to, how this is going to play out?
I have to believe that there's going to be accountability. You know, I have to believe that Senator Biden and those senators want someone who's both competent and not an enabler as the ambassador representing us overseas. I have to believe that, especially in this moment, in such a critical post. It's not enough for us just to have someone there. We need to have someone there who really, really aligns with American values. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not a soothsayer. I know that, you know, I've talked to, at this point, I think close to a couple dozen Senate offices about my experience, about other victims' experiences, other whistleblowers' experiences. So, you know, I know that the Senate is aware. I know that senators have been deeply disturbed by what they've heard from me and from others. And I am sure and I'm hopeful that they're reading Senator Grassley's report so they can see in detail the ways he enabled and then, you know, and then was not truthful. So I don't know. I've said publicly, you know, that President Biden at this point should rescind the nomination. That is the right thing to do. So I hope that that takes place.
All right, Naomi, we thank you very much for coming on. We really feel your passion. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Okay.
That's Naomi Seligman, the former communications director for Rick Garcetti, for Eric Garcetti on the whole Rick Jacobs deal. More coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. I don't know. Having Naomi Seligman on for a half hour talking about Garcetti and Rick Jacobs. She was the communications director for Garcetti, and she has issued a 31-page complaint about Jacobs' sexual attacks and Garcetti's indifference and knowledge. I don't know how Garcetti spends another day in politics. I really don't.
Should not.
I don't know why everybody in public life isn't saying, get out now.
It's a case of a man who thinks he's going to be president, and by his side would be his big fundraiser, his right arm, Rick Jacobs. We're going to stand together, and we're going to deny anything, particularly this man's lewd behavior. That's all it was. And then you got some loyalists who are like, yeah, we're moving up with Garcetti, so we're mum. Only people like Naomi said this is wrong.
Garcetti's ambition was to be president. His wife's ambition was to be first lady. And they were willing to make any deal with the devil. Very reminiscent of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They would do anything and hurt anybody. And they always, both couples, had a long line of willing supplicants, willing employees, willing to be humiliated and abused for in service of the great man.
Did you see, speaking of the Clintons, and I like the way the tabloids put this together, a man who, let's just say he facilitated Jeffrey Epstein's visit to the Clinton White House back in the 90s when Clinton was president, has died mysteriously. It's like another body on the pile of the Clintons.
Well, he was doubly cursed.
It's like no cause of death has been given. He was 50s, and only in his 50s, I think. So
connections to Clinton and Epstein? No. Your life expectancy.
Does this man know something that we better make sure he does not to ever tell anybody? Right?
Your life.
Send the hit squad.
Yes, your life expectancy is near zero. You might as well just have crossed Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Stay tuned to KFI. We got this nasty brush fire, which is burning in an upscale of Laguna Niguel subdivision. Homes have been on fire. People are fleeing. It's been really buffeted by these winds. There's some big coastal winds today that are blowing, and that's causing the problem in this neighborhood. A subdivision in Coronado Point near the Aliso Summit hiking trail. You got the Laguna Beach and Orange County fire departments on the scene, but it's a pretty big, I mean, there are reports at least 13 homes have burned in this area.
Yeah, they're burning on live television right now.
They are burning on live television.
A lot of smoke and a lot of flames shooting out the roof of these homes.
Right.
So in that neighborhood, it's really bad.
One of the horrible stories that came out over Mother's Day weekend was this woman up in the valley who killed her three children. And the story took a turn when it was announced that they had also detained a 16-year-old boy as being an accomplice in the murders of these three children. The mother's name is Angela Flores, and she has admitted to killing three of her children. But there was supposedly the aid of a 16-year-old boy in killing these three children. And she made an initial appearance today in court, did not enter a plea, postponed the arraignment until August. The three that were killed were Natalie Flores, age 12, Kevin Yanez, 10, and Nathan Yanez, age 8. One of the updates said that the mother thought they were possessed by demons.
There you go.
And there were reports that neighbors saw her holding a Bible and lighting candles in a yard near the home. This was late Saturday night, and Sunday the children were found dead.
Yeah, there's very few reasons when a mother kills her own children, and it's either they've gone completely psychotic and they think there are evil demons in the kids, or they're suffering some severe postpartum depression. But
the 16-year-old, which we think is another son of hers, they're not identifying him. He's in juvenile court, and he's denied a petition accusing of murder in one of the three deaths. So that's supposedly the way he aided in the murders. Maybe he didn't participate in all three, but he must have done something involving one of the kids' deaths. And I don't think we found out exactly how they died. I don't think we've actually seen
it. No, they haven't released it. Which I wonder if it's something really
There's a report
upsetting.
That she jumped on the children because she was trying to drive the demons out of them. So literally trying to force the demons out by stomping on them. I know.
Mental illness like that is so frightening to me because you know she's been crazy for quite a while. I mean, the neighbors have said there always was a lot of screaming going on. So her brain was fried. You know, she was completely out of her mind, delusional, and God knows what she was doing to those kids every night. And the thing is, there's nowhere to go. What are you going to do? What are you trapped with a crazy mother? You're 8 years old, and she thinks there's demons inside you, and she's shrieking and yelling. There's no way to fix this. There's no escape route for a little kid.
Yeah, I saw up in the Bay Area another story similar to this. Apparently, the little girl died during an exorcism attempt. Yeah,
there you go. And
like,
even
wow.
Even if you see what happens, like with like in L.A., Child Family Services, right? They show up and they do nothing. Police can't do anything. You can't do a 5150 hold and put her in a mental hospital for more than 72 hours. And you can only do that as if she's actually got the knife in the air and about to bring it down on someone. This is correlated to the homeless situation. There's a lot of crazy people who exhibit all kinds of psycho behavior, and there's just nothing anybody wants to do about it. Just issue thoughts and prayers after the kids are killed.
We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Well, we closed the show out with the bizarre. You may have heard this name before, comedian Andy Dick. He's 56 years old. He's constantly arrested. And he was arrested today. I mean, listen to this story. He had been staying with a group of people living out of their RVs in an Orange County campground and live streaming their lives together on a YouTube channel. But I tell you, that's a life, huh? But there's an audience for that. People want to see you living in your RV in a campground.
He's had a lot of drug problems.
Yeah. So a man by the name of Maximiliano is alleging that Andy Dick molested him.
Oh.
And that's the charge. Felony sex assault.
Oh.
We don't have any details beyond the claim.
How old's that guy? Does it say?
It does not say. He's just.
But he's a grown man.
One name, Maximiliano.
Is that a kid or a?
No, I think it's an adult.
An adult.
It's being described as a man. A man is. This is this morning at the Trabuco Canyon campground. They got a call at 9 a.m. that the man said he'd been sexually assaulted by the comedian. He's being held on $25,000 a day.
What a wasted life! Just what a stupid wasted life.
One of the people that was live streaming from the encampment said, did anyone witness anything last night or this morning? Anything unusual? One of the deputies is heard to ask Maximiliano and a woman named Jessica as they live stream the events, because I guess they were live streaming when the police came.
Are these homeless people? Or is this
living in their RVs. How do you want to define them?
Well, I mean, they're people who live in their RVs and they travel. Like
that's
older people
true.
Who
and
retire.
And then there's people
and they go,
like over at the Bologna Wetlands.
Right, yeah. So there's like two classes, because some people have really beautiful RVs. You could pay $1 million for an RV. And this
is an actual sanctioned campground, so this isn't squatting.
Right. That's different.
Right.
So that's why I was wondering.
You'd have to watch this YouTube channel and then tell me what you think. Right?
You watch it and decide,
are these people with real lives going somewhere who are just enjoying seeing the country in retirement? Or are these just layabouts?
There's got to be something better to do than watch the Andy Dick trailer channel.
Well, I'd forgotten. He allegedly groped a Lyft driver in 2018. He also got into some disturbance with a bouncer and somebody in a West Virginia bar.
No, he
was charged with domestic violence last November.
Yeah. No, he's got drug, alcohol, and mental problems, I think.
I know. It's like times I'm surprised he's still alive.
You know,
I'm always hearing about him getting involved in some...
Right. One of those guys that if you suddenly found out he died in some bizarre way, it wouldn't surprise you in the least.
You wouldn't be surprised at all. No. One other thing. We were supposed to have Rick Caruso on the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock. A couple of people actually wrote with questions for him.
Yeah, well, he's got a scheduling conflict, but we're working on rescheduling that very soon.
Yeah, it's a family thing, and it's understandable. So, you know, they just didn't know when they put it down for him that he was going to be on the show. So we will redo that.
We had a big show today. You should listen to 3 o'clock hour Michael Schellenberger, the independent running for governor against Newsom. I think you'll be really impressed with him. We had him on for the whole hour, and he could be the real deal. But you got to learn about him and spread the word about him. And then if you didn't hear the first half hour of the 5 o'clock hour, with Naomi Seligman on, giving a very devastating half-hour explanation of what went on in Garcetti's office with Rick Jacobs and why Garcetti...
He's a liar!
Yeah, really. He's committed serious felony perjury. So a couple of really unusual events today on the show. And then we have Conway.
How are you, sir? Ding dong with you. Well, we got this horrible fire burning in Laguna Niguel, and there are some homes that are on fire as well, or that were on fire. I don't know what's going on right now, but we have an update. The newsroom is buzzing about this, and it looks like one of those fires that could have wiped out a whole community, like in Denver. Remember that fire?
Yeah,
raged
the winds are exceptionally strong.
It's unbelievable, yeah. So we're going to have a ton of information on that. We got Corbin Carson, who's down there checking things out for us. And evacuations are ordered as well as the brush fire ignites homes in Laguna Niguel. And so that'll be the focus for the first at least hour or so.
Right? All right.
Yep.
Very good.
All right.
Conway and Michael Crozier has the news. KFI AM, no, it's KFI and KOSD HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.